22 is the hymn number on the page 335. Blessed lily of the valley, oh how fair is he. He is mine, I am his, sweeter than the angel's music is his voice to me. He is mine, I am his, where the lilies fairer blooming by the waters come. There he leads me and upholds me by a strong right arm. All the air is love around me, I can feel no harm. He is mine and I am his. A wonderful hymn reminding us of the great union between the Lord and his people, a union that can never be broken. And the Bible tells us that there's no power on earth, no power in hell, that can ever separate the believer from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. 392, standing as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing.
Blessed lily of the valley.
Our hearts together in prayer, the throne of grace. Let us just look to the Lord tonight, praying for that sense of his presence and his blessing to be our portion tonight around his word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we just come, O God, before thee tonight with thankfulness in our hearts and in our souls for thy goodness and thy mercy that finds us here tonight in this meeting where prayer is wont to be made. Father, we come to thee tonight in and through the Saviour's name, through the name of thy Son, and through the merits of Christ alone, the one who is our Redeemer, the only Redeemer of God's elect, the one who died an atoning death for us and for our sins upon the cross, the one who bore upon himself the wrath of God, the curse of God that was our due. Lord, thy word tells us that Christ died for us, the ungodly. He died for our sins. He took upon himself the judgment of God that we deserve for our sins. He became our substitute. And Father, we thank thee that he paid that price of our salvation, of our redemption in full, when he cried out upon the cross, "It is finished." And Father, we thank thee tonight for the finished work of Christ, the Lamb of God. We thank thee for the precious blood that was shed that flowed from the wounds of Christ. And Father, we thank thee tonight for the healing that there is for our sin-sick souls in and through the wounds of Christ. We thank thee for the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all our sins. We thank thee, O God, that there's no sin too deep or too great that the blood of Christ cannot deal with. O God, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast promised, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. We thank thee that we are saved from the wrath to come through the blood of the Lamb. We thank thee, O God, that our sins, though many, as the people of God, had been forgiven, pardoned, cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. And Father, we thank that they're pardoned, they're blotted out through the blood of the cross. And we thank thee, O God, tonight for the promise of thy word, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We thank the Lord that we've been saved from the wrath to come. We thank the Lord for the great promise of Christ when he said to his people, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We thank thee tonight that we're saved on our way to heaven. And Father, we thank that we have that great hope before us, that great prize before us as the people of God, that has been secured for us, purchased for us in full, that glorious inheritance by the blood of Christ, our dear Redeemer. Lord, bless, O God, our coming together here tonight. Realize it is thy presence that makes the feast. We thank thee for the words of this hymn of which we've been singing, that thou art one that art united to thy people. Thou art married to thy people. And Lord, our prayer is that thou wilt draw near to us tonight. We think of those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Lord, they were sad, they were downcast. Yet, Lord, the prayer was, "Lord, abide with us." And Lord, thou didst abide with them. Thou didst respond to that prayer. And Lord, their testimony was, "Lord, did not our hearts burn within us while Jesus himself drew near and talked with us by the way?" And Lord, we would make that our prayer tonight. Abide with us here in this prayer meeting. Pour out thy Holy Spirit, O God, upon us. Prepare our hearts this night for thy word, for thy truth. How we rejoice in thy word as those that find great spoil. And Lord, bless thy word. Bless the truth of God's word to our hearts. May we not just hear thy word, but, oh Lord, help us to hide it in our hearts, to live it out in our lives day by day. Lord, Christ prayed for his people, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We pray that even through thy word and through thy truth tonight, as those that belong to thee, that we would be sanctified more and more, conformed more and more unto the image of Christ, that we might die to self, that we might die more and more to sin and to the ways of this ungodly world, and that we might live more and more unto Christ, our Redeemer, who loved us, who gave himself for us. Bless us also, Lord, in our season of prayer. Give us help to pray, Lord. We thank you for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside, who helps us with our infirmity, even in the place of prayer. The Lord, teach us to pray tonight. Pour upon us each one, Lord, that spirit of prayer and supplication. May there be business, O God, done with thee tonight in the place of prayer. Lead us out in true believing prayer.
Lord, burden our hearts with those things that thou would have us to pray for. And Lord, we thank thee that thou art a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. We thank thee for the promise of thy word. When thou said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it. And Lord, help us to hold on to thee. Give us that spirit of Jacob of old, who said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. We thank thee for all who have come tonight. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God. Bless every family and household represented. Meet the need of all our homes and our families. Unite all our family circles in the Lord. And Lord, grant that we might know each one that blessing of household salvation, O God, we do pray. Lord, for others going through times of testing and trial, Lord, lift them up and strengthen them. We thank thee that thou art the lifter up of thy people. And Father, we pray for those needing a word of counsel or guidance. Be thou their guide and their director, O God, tonight. Lord, cleanse our hearts afresh in the precious blood of our Savior. We confess our sins before thee. Create within us that clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us that right spirit. Prepare our hearts this night to meet with thee, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Remember, Lord, those that are unable to come and join with us because of age or sickness or infirmity or works of necessity and mercy. Lord, bless them. Minister to them by the grace and by the power of God. Remember every family connected with our church and our congregation. Meet the need of every home. And Lord, unite every family in Christ, we pray. Remember, Lord, those who would listen in online tonight, whoever they are, wherever they might be. We pray that thou would bless them and that thou would encourage them in the ways of God. Again, Lord, bless right across our land tonight. Other prayer meetings such as this. We think of gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time. Bless every faithful ambassador for Christ who would seek to be faithful to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that thou art still upon the throne tonight and that thou art in the great business of building thy church, and thou hast promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We thank thee for the meeting tonight out in Tresna. Bless all the boys and girls who heard thy word there. Lord, bless these children early in life. Save them each one. Bless their homes and unite their families in the Lord and bring them unto Christ, we ask of thee. Bless us now, we pray. Do us much good tonight. And may we go home rejoicing, Lord, that we've met with thee, that we've heard thy voice. And Lord, may we know that joy unspeakable and full of glory being our portion. For we pray and we ask all these things in our Savior's name and for thy name's sake and glory. Amen. And amen. We're going to turn tonight, please, on the word of God to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse number 7. Continue on with our studies in this epistle, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from verse 7 of the chapter, just going down to the end of verse number 12. And while you're looking it up, I want to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us this evening. We bid you welcome. We pray the Lord will bless you around God's word and around the throne of grace. In prayer, do remember, please, the services over the weekend. Pray for them. Friday night here, 6:30, the children's meeting, youth fellowship meeting at 8 p.m. Pray for the youth as they gather. And then the services here on the Lord's Day. Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. Morning worship service, 12 noon. And then the evening gospel service at 7. And the will of the Lord will belong to bring God's word. Pray for the meetings and plan to join with us and to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse number 7. Here we have the Apostle Paul speaking to the believers in the Thessalonian church. And he says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you,
we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who have called you unto his kingdom and glory. Amen. Ending our reading there at the verse number 12. And we pray God will add his blessing to his precious word, the reading of it to our hearts. Our text for this evening that we want to base our message upon and around is verse number 11 there of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the focus is very much upon Paul as a pastor. In verse 4 of the chapter, we see how he is portrayed to us as a faithful steward of the gospel. It says in verse 4, but as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts. Well, in our Bible reading tonight, we see how his work as a pastor is further depicted by two other characters in particular. In verse number 7 there, you see how Paul is likened unto a nurse who gently cares for her children. He says in verse 7, he says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Yes, Paul himself was a great theologian. He was a fervent missionary. He was a gifted writer. He was one himself who suffered much for the gospel. But his life also was marked by gentleness in his dealings with others. Indeed, addressing the Corinthian believers, he said these words. He says, I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. And my in being gentle with others, Paul himself was following the very example of Christ as Savior. And by this gentleness in Paul's life, it was but the fruit. It was the outworking of the Holy Spirit of God in his life. Because we're told in Galatians 5 verse 22 that the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And likewise, believer, you and I also, we are to be gentle as believers in our dealings with others in life. Turn over there to Titus chapter 3, and you'll see there how Paul outlines this for the believer. Titus chapter 3 and the verse number 2, he's speaking here of how God's people are to live and act towards others. And he says in Titus chapter 3 verse 2, he says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. A believer in Christ tonight, yes, it's important that we pray for God's wisdom, that we pray for God's grace to be gentle like Christ. And my, this is all part of the ongoing work of sanctification in our lives as Christians day by day. Yes, Paul was a faithful steward of the gospel. Paul was gentle as a nurse amongst those whom he ministered amongst in Thessalonica. But we see also here another character in these verses, and it is this, that Paul, he also describes himself and is depicted as a loving father. And you see that in verse 11, our text here tonight in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, notice it, as a father doth his children. My, it was indeed through God's blessing upon Paul's ministry that many of these people in the Thessalonian church to whom he now writes had come to saving faith in Christ in many ways. Paul was, if you like, their spiritual father. It was through his ministry that they came to faith in Christ for salvation. And he loved them as a father. He was concerned for them as a father is concerned for his own children, for his own family, for his own offspring. And in our text here tonight and in the surrounding
verses in this passage of Scripture, we see Paul's concern as a loving father for these Thessalonian believers that is portrayed for us, even for us as believers to follow in our own lives as Christians. Notice first of all here with me that Paul's loving concern as a father is seen in his work. And he makes reference to that in verse 9 of the chapter. Where he says, "Ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." And these words here show us that Paul was involved in two kinds of work as he labored among the Thessalonians. There was his physical work whereby he was able on this occasion to support himself. And he refers to that in the first half there of verse number 9. He says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you." By profession, Paul himself was a tent maker. That was his trade, and he resorted to that trade during his time at Thessalonica. And by Paul's physical work here, it reminds, yes, God's people, that it is by our work, and it is indeed by our employment, that we can support ourselves, support our families, and also support the work of the Lord by our giving. You think of the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter number 20. The fourth commandment says, 6 days shalt thou labor. And when we've got health and strength, and when we've opportunity, we are to work, and we're to use our God-given gifts and God-given talents and abilities to support ourselves, to support our families, and to support the work of God, the cause of Christ at home and abroad. Turn with me your Bible back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Look at the opening two verses of that chapter here. Paul is addressing the believers in Corinth about their support for God's work. And he says in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1, he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I has given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And there he was speaking to them about giving to the work of God. As God had prospered them, as God had blessed them, and they were to give, and they were to be stewards of what God had given to them to forward the gospel and the work of God. And this is how God wants us all to live as believers, in our support of the work of God. Indeed, the Word of God shows us we're to give our tithe to the work of God. And that's the tenth of our income. And when we do, God gives us a wonderful promise. He says, "I will pour you out a blessing." He says, Paul ministered to his own needs to the church in Thessalonica. Yes, there was his physical work, but not only was there his physical work that he was involved in, there was also the spiritual work that he was involved in. Look at what he says again at the end of verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For he says there, "We preached unto you," he says, "the gospel of God." This was his most important work, the preaching of the gospel of God. And my Paul was a tremendous example of one who served the Lord. He began the Christian life with that question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That was the tenor of his entire Christian life. And he ended his life on earth by saying these words, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." His life was marked by the service of the Lord. And likewise, child of God, you and I also, we are to do what we can. We're to follow Paul's example. We're to do what we can to forward and to further the gospel of God and to help the work of God, be it at home or be it further afield. You remember how Paul addresses and speaks of Priscilla and Aquila in Romans chapter 16. He gives them a wonderful commendation. He describes them there. He says, "As my helpers in Christ Jesus." He speaks there of Priscilla and Aquila. He says, they were helpers in the gospel in Christ Jesus, and likewise, child of God, you and I also are to be helpers in God's work. And there are many ways that we can help in God's work, be it teaching children in a Sunday school class, helping out there, helping out in children's work and children's meetings, helping out in young people's meetings with youth work, giving out gospel tracts, witnessing to people, attending the meetings. One of the greatest ministries that any Christian can be involved in is attending and supporting the meetings and the work of God and the Church of Christ week by week, for the spiritual good of the Church of Christ. Coming to the place of prayer and engaging with others in prayer for God's work. Inviting others to the meetings, to God's work, and bringing others to hear the Word of God. There's so many ways that we can be helpers in the work of God. Making a cup of tea, maybe for a visiting speaker or whatever. It's a ministry for the Lord. Caretaking the church, caretaking the building, again, as a ministry for the Lord. I remember hearing about an elderly gentleman. He was a caretaker of a particular church, and he'd done all he could to keep that building inside and out, and there was a little garden outside the church, and people commended him for how well he kept the little garden. He says, "I keep that garden for the Lord." It was his ministry for the Lord in the community, amongst others, where he lived. The Bible says, believer in Christ, that you and I were to serve the Lord. And the Bible says we're to serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, let us seek to labor for Christ, dear people. The hymn writer says, "I have only one life on this earth. I must labor for treasures of worth." And you and I have only one life on this earth. And if we are to labor for treasures of worth, then we're to labor for the Lord. Yes, we see here Paul's loving concern as a father. It's seen in his work. Not only do we see it in his work, notice secondly here we see Paul's loving concern as a father. It is seen in his walk. Look at verse number 10 there of the chapter. Notice what he says. He says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." Indeed, throughout his Christian life, Paul ever sought by God's grace to live out a good example before others as a Christian. Remember his confession before Felix, the Roman governor. He says, "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense," he says, "toward God and toward men." And my, that is how it must be with you and I also as believers in this life. Yes, living out the Christian life before others in an honorable way is something that is vitally important for us as believers. I'm sure you have often heard it said that the ungodly will not read the Bible, but they will read and they will watch our lives as Christians and as believers. And may we see here that Paul's walk, it was marked by holiness of life. Look at what he says there in verse 10. He says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy," he says, "we behaved ourselves among you that believe." In Paul's life there was repentance. There was a forsaking of sin, and that is how it is to be with you and I, with all of us who are saved. The Bible says, "Be ye holy." The Lord says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." It has been said that holiness is the everyday business of every Christian in the scene of time. His walk was marked by holiness. Notice something else here. We see that Paul's walk was marked by justice. Notice what he says again there in verse 10. He says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how justly," he says, "we behaved ourselves among you that believe." He was just in all his dealings with others. Integrity marked his life. And that is how you and I also are to live as Christians in this world. The Bible says in Micah, we are to do justly. We're to be just in all our dealings with others. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 says that ye should do that which is honest in our dealings with our others. We're to be just and fair and honest. Our testimony is to be marked by integrity.
Then we see something else here, that Paul's walk was unblameable. He says there in verse number 9, he says, verse number 10, ye are witnesses in God also, how unblameably, he says, we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Yes, no doubt the enemies of the gospel would have wrongly accused Paul of certain things. But before God, he had this testimony that he was blameless. His testimony was marked by being unblameable. And that's how you and I also are to live as Christians in this ungodly world day by day. Turn in your Bible back to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And look at verse number 15 of the chapter. Notice what it says there. It says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And that's how God wants us to live as Christians in this world. Yes, we see his work as a father. We see his walk as a father. Notice something else here. We see in the third place here that Paul's loving concern as a father is also seen in his words. Look at verse 11 there of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. He says, and ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And here you see how Paul took time to speak to these believers. He exhorted them. He comforted them. He charged them. He directed them with his words and the ways of God. His words were an encouragement. They were a blessing to these believers. And likewise, child of God, we too are to use our tongue and our words to counsel, to guide, and to encourage others also in the ways of God. Over in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 8, James tells us there about the tongue. And he says, the tongue can no man tame. And such words really highlight to us the power of the tongue. And that reminds us, yes, words, they can be a power for good, but they can also be a power for harm and a power for evil. But praise God, while no man can tame the tongue, the Lord is able to tame our tongues. And the Lord is able to use our tongues for his glory and for the good of others. Therefore, daily believer, you and I, we need to pray. As we go about our daily life, be it in our home, be it in our workplace, be it in the community where we live and the work of God, wherever, we need to pray that God will guide our words, that he'll guide our tongue, that he'll give us right words to say to others, to guide them in the ways of God. And this was something David prayed about in his own life. Turn back there to Psalm number 19. Psalm number 19. And you'll see this was the prayer of the psalmist David, Psalm number 19. Go down to verse number 14 of the chapter. Notice what he prays. He prays, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. David was concerned about his words. He was concerned about his tongue, how his tongue would be used. And he says, Lord, let the words of my mouth, indeed the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Yes, right words and God-glorifying words, no doubt, was the concern of the hymn writer. For she said, take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. She was wanting her lips to be directed and guided by God and used of God to do good unto others. Look at verse number 12 there, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. What was the whole purpose behind the life of Paul as a steward of the gospel, as a nurse that was gentle, as a father who was loving? It was this. In verse number 12, he says to these believers that ye would walk worthy of God, who called you unto his kingdom and his glory. This was the purpose behind his ministry and his word to these Christians in Thessalonica, that they themselves would walk worthy of God. Notice that God who had called them. Every believer is called by God in grace. unto God's kingdom and unto God's glory. And brethren and sisters in Christ, may this be the aim also of our conversation, of our words, of our life, of our example, that we too might ever be an encouragement to others, to other believers especially, that they might walk worthy of the Lord, and also an encouragement to the unsaved, that they too might come to Christ and trust Him, and then go on to follow the Lord and to walk worthy of the Lord. May the Lord write His word and bless His truth tonight to every heart and soul in our meeting. We'll turn again in our hymn book before we get down to prayer to hymn number 413. 413 on the page 343. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. 413. We'll stand as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. Just get down to our season of prayer. Encourage as many as possible tonight to pray, to seek the Lord, to use up the time that the Lord has given to us, to pray one with another and one for another, as the Lord would lead us by His Holy Spirit tonight in prayer. Just some prayer requests I want to mention to you. Do please pray for the services over the weekend, the Lord's Day, the Sunday school, the youth, the children's work. Pray for God's blessing upon these, that God would save and God would gather people in under the sound of His word, and even add unto the work here such as should be saved. Remember the sick, please, and the elderly in your prayers. Do remember them. Lily Parkinson is out of hospital now, but do remember her in your prayers, and also the Reverend Cook is out of hospital as well. Pray that he'll know God's touch. Your brother Jeffrey had surgery last week, is home recovering. Remember him in your prayers. That he'll know God's touch as well. And our sister Margaret Knox, his sister, is ill in hospital as well at this time. Remember her in your prayers, that you'll know the Lord's touch as well. And do please pray for our missionaries at home and abroad. Remember those that were represented and mentioned here last Lord's Day, the work in Uganda, the Kerskadon's going out there soon, the work in India, Nepal and the Philippines and Pakistan. Remember the seed that was sown by our brethren also in the mission there in the Isle of Man, that there'll be fruit from that in the days that lie ahead. And do please pray for the work of Consider Christ as well. Next week we're having an outreach stand at the Balmoral Show. Pray for that, that God would bless it, bless the literature, and then the outreach to Longford and Roscommon in May the 20th. Remember that also in your prayers. But as the Lord leads, these are just some things I want to leave before you. I'm not tying you to these things, but as the Lord leads you and burdens you to pray, then encourage a believer, step out in faith, and the Lord will bless you, and the Lord will help you. Maybe ask our brother Ian Moore to lead us off in prayer, and then maybe also our brother Mr. Raymond Foy, and then one after the other, as the Lord would lead us in the time that is left. Men and women, young and old alike, let us seek the Lord and pour out our hearts before the Lord. Our brother Ian, please. Thank you.